four people, 400 knots at flight level 410, 1,500 nautical miles. Meet the Stratus 714. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. The Stratus 714 is termed a very light personal jet. The goal is to create a small, pilot-owner jet with four seats, but with performance available so far only in much larger jets with much higher price tags. The plane is still a couple years off, but Stratus Aircraft brought a full cabin mock-up to Oshkosh, and I got the chance to discuss the project with Stratus CEO Michael Lemaire. What was it that he saw in the marketplace that suggested there was room for another very light jet?
The jets that have come out up to now haven't really addressed the high end. They are limited in altitude. You know, we have two examples where they limit the altitude to 25,000 feet, and a couple more examples where they go slightly higher. But no one is going to the 41,000 feet, which is where you can get the best performance with today's jet engines. You know, so that's what we do with the Stratus. So that allows us, we have a big engine and we have a lot of fuel, so that allows us to fly high and fast. So at 41,000 feet we cruise at 400 knots, and with a load of four people and 400 knots we can cross 1500 nautical miles. So that's the target point we have set for ourselves.
Now, someone told me once that there are aircraft out there that can do this kind of performance, but they all require you to haul around a bunch of empty seats you're not using. Who is the target customer for the Stratus 400?
Well, the target customer is obviously the pilot owner, okay, who likes to fly his own jet, his own plane, in this case a jet. So we've kept that target in mind. We've kept it very simple to fly. It should not be more complicated than literally any single in out there, okay? With FedEx and all the modern avionics, the management of the engine, of course, is extremely simple, simpler than a regular piston. And avionics, we are counting a lot on the avionics to help out on many of the issues that are loading the pilot's brain when you are flying. So all in all, we think it's going to be a very simple aircraft to pilot. The stall speed is very low. We are at 63, okay, which gives you a pretty low approach speed. So it's not going to be as frightening as many of the twins we see out there, right, where you need to get used to the new speeds, you know. So, you know, we think it's not going to be a big step for a private pilot of a high-performance even piston to move into the Stratus.
Let's talk about who those people are and how they'll move into this plane and this class of aircraft. What kind of training requirements do you anticipate for people to get rated to fly this aircraft who are coming from, say, a high-performance piston engine single?
Well, you need a couple of additional qualification. Of course, you are flying very high, so you need the high altitude endorsement. You need some kind of a turbine endorsement, okay? I don't know exactly how it's going to work out, but evidently you will need that. On top of that, what we would like to establish is an actual training program. I mean, we would not want to let anybody lose without having gone through our training program, okay? We don't think it's going to be especially difficult. You know, I'm flying a Lancer 4P, and that was a big step. You know, I had the Mooney before and moved into a Lancer 4P, and it took me many hours to learn to land that plane properly. But with the slower stalling speed of this aircraft, we don't think it's going to be that much of a step, you know. But still, a good training is a good thing.
All right, now you have recently had independent confirmation of your design parameters. For some people, 400 people, 400 knots, or 4 people, 400 knots, 1,500 nautical miles seemed like graphs that just would not intersect. But you have recently had outside consultant verify this. Tell us about that process and who did that.
That's correct. What we did is we had our two in-house engineers, let's say, draw up their calculations independently, and they were pretty close. Then we gave it to an outside consultancy in Seattle who they've gone through, I don't know, like 70 designs in their career, you know, and their figures were again pretty close to ours. So we feel very confident that these numbers are achievable. Okay. We have been conservative in many of our assumptions. We are not trying to push the envelope. We are exactly at 0.7 Mach, okay, which is really the sweet spot to be in. You are just before compressibility, so that avoids many of the problems. You don't have to have swept wings, you know. But then we are just there, you know. So we are pretty confident that we are going to be very close to those figures.
Now you've drawn together a remarkable team to make this aircraft a reality. Tell us about your background and the background of some of your key players.
My background is in computer science. I'm a computer engineer. I've done I've created about half a dozen computer company in my life, sold a couple of them. So and I've been in I started in hardware, although I'm a hardware and software engineer. I started the production in hardware, then moved into software, did some things like one of the first to have a movie, the software to shoot movies in cell phones, you know, for instance. That was about like 10 years ago or so. In aviation, I've been part of ultralight company for about 30 years. We've been making about 1,300 aircraft throughout the world that are flying all over the world. And we recently moved into the LSA market with that company. Last year we got the LSA certification, that's the XR. Apart from that, I've been an aviation enthusiast all my life. I've been flying for 30 years. I have a Lancer I'm flying that Lancer for now 7 years, you know, so. So that's my background, but I'm not an aeronautical engineer. Yeah. However, my partner and co-founder, Carsten Sundin, is a very experienced aeronautical engineer. He was in Lancer for 10 years. He was in Epic for 2 years. So he's gone through the complete process of designing carbon fiber planes already twice. So he's experienced. He's really been the technical driving force behind that project, evidently. We also have our chief aerodynamist is from the UK, Gordon Robinson. He's got a PhD in aerodynamics, and he's again gone through many designs of wings, in particular the Epic, and that's how they got to know each other with Carsten. And he's worked on many projects. The better knowns are, of course, Airbus. He's worked quite a lot on Airbus. His claim to fame, an interesting claim to fame of his, he's got more than one, I suppose, but an interesting one is that he's worked on the first Mach 1 car. So that was a challenge, although the challenge was that this car shouldn't fly.
Yes, yes.
So it's a kind of a reverse challenge in the case of an aeronautical engineer, but it's a challenge all the same. So this is the bulk of the technical team, what I can call in-house technical team. Then we have we've addressed many consultants. We try to know what we don't know, you know, and then go outside for any help we require. So we've put on our technical advisory board many experts in their own fields, and we tap on their knowledge whenever it's needed.
More from Oshkosh with Stratus Aircraft CEO Michael Lemaire in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from AeroNews.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the soup, you got to have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, and today we're bringing you my conversation with Stratus Aircraft CEO Michael Lemaire at Oshkosh. Anytime you talk to an aircraft developer these days, the question that must be asked is, where in today's difficult capital market do you find the money to bring a new design to market, and how much will you need?
It's extremely challenging, to say the least. However, the way we want to do it is, I think, is gives us a good chance of success. What we would like to do is break the program into two phases. We have the first phase where we need somewhere in the range of $12 million to go through the first two prototypes and have an airframe that we can destructively test. And we would like this phase of the program to be financed by among our clients, okay, people who would like to have that plane and who have the money and the inclination to invest would be ideal candidates, okay. Now, $12 million is not a huge sum of money for people who want to buy a $2 million plane, you know. You can expect that we can find some like that. And in fact, we are in discussions right now, you know, so it looks good up to now, let me put it like that. In the second phase, however, after we have the flying prototype and we need to go for type certification and production certification, we estimate the amount we'll need at that time is more in the range of $100 million. So in that case, at that point, we'll go for institutions or even an IPO, or we'll see how the climate is at that time, the economical climate is, and that will be about 2 years from now.
How has Oshkosh been as a venue for you to expose this design to the public?
Well, I think Oshkosh is a very interesting platform to exhibit any kind of design, because you've got such a wide variety of public that comes there. You know, you get feedback from everybody, you know. So in that way, it's very good. Commercially, it's not necessarily the best platform for a project like us, because it's somewhat at the high end, evidently, you know. But we see many more right in front of us, you know. See many more which are even more expensive. So I guess it works for everybody. So in that way, Oshkosh is, I would say, very universal.
I have noticed that one of the things that's unique about Oshkosh is that at the same time you see people coming by in cut-off shorts and flip-flops and dressed extremely casually and maybe even camping on the other side of the fence over there, among them are people who are you know, major forces within the industry.
Exactly.
Who come to see things. So it's an unparalleled networking opportunity, at least for the United States.
Absolutely. Well, even more than the United States, we have some people from all over the world coming here, I know. But don't judge on the appearance, you know. People come in flip-flops and then they leave a check behind, you know. So, no, I think it's great to have the opportunity of getting the feedback from many people. But of course, the greatest part is that we got many people who have shown very keen interest. Okay, so that is the most important for us, evidently.
Well, I can tell you that we look forward to. There's so much fun stuff to see here. Ever since, you know, computer-assisted design and CNC machining gave almost anybody the ability to have an idea and at least get it to a prototyping stage, there have been some very, very exciting things coming here. And I think you're at a level above that, obviously, where you're dealing with composites in complex shapes. But thank you for being one of the people who's bringing the things that are so fun for us to look at here.
Well, you know, it's really my pleasure. I wouldn't do it unless I enjoyed it, you know.
Well, Michael, thanks very much. We will keep in touch, and very good luck with the project.
Thank you very much.
There are no guarantees when you set out to develop a new aircraft. Will the world economy turn around in the 2 years before the Stratus 714 comes to market? Will politicians stop attempting to shame anyone who flies a small jet into taking the bus? Will new competitors spot the same opportunity and beat you to it? The one sure thing for now is that the Stratus 714 represents a dot on the very light jet range and performance graph with no other dots nearby. We'll keep watching the story. Michael Lemaire is the CEO of Stratus Aircraft. Find out more on the Stratus 714 at www.stratusaircraft.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us online at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.